be confirmed when we get together for the first time tomorrow, that Jack is sinking not very slowly, ever more quickly, it seems, into the darkness and blackness of Alzheimer's. I loved him from the first day that I met him. He was one of those people who lived his entire life using his mind. He was an administrator in the Catholic University system. He was the provost or vice president at several Jesuit universities, for example. And he always, and he holds a doctorate in medieval English literature. So he has used his mind his entire life, and now it is being taken away from him and being taken away from all of us. So both he and my sister are on my personal binnacle list, which I share with all of Captain Joe's people every week, and we hope that whatever decisions are to be taken while we are all together, because all four of their children, for the first time in many years, are going to be together with their parents and with me, and certainly some decisions now have to be discussed and then hopefully reached, agreed as to what the next steps are. So that's what I have to say about all of that today, and I'm going to deal with one other sad thing, and then I'm going to fulfill the mission which I have, hopefully, every week that you all share with me, and that is at the end of the half hour that we spend together, that you and I will all feel just a little bit better about ourselves and about the world in which we live. But the sad thing is that the Coast Guard suffered the loss of one of its Jayhawk helicopters from Coast Guard Air Station Sitka in Alaska. And all four of the crew survived, but the machine, I've seen a photograph of the machine as it lies in a forest, and it looks like it is strike damage. It looks like it cannot be repaired and reassembled and put back to work. Happily and fortunately, all of the crew members survived, but the machine almost certainly is gone, and it is a it's always a sad thing, just as every time I look at a ship aground, or especially in a collision, it's always so sad to see that. But pursuing the mission of all of our feeling a little bit better about ourselves, one of the things that happened in my planning for this trip was that this is the third year that I have stayed in the DoubleTree by Hilton in Burlington, Vermont. I do not stay with family because their household is not set up for extra people. They find it difficult enough to manage their own lives, just the two of them, plus whatever dogs they might have in the house at the town, to add to that, and I don't do that. And so for the third year, I've stayed at the DoubleTree. Now, one would think that with a big chain like that, that they really would not somehow or other remember a person who has been there several times. And, of course, you make your booking through an electronic system, and the electronic system doesn't give a rip about who you are or whether you've stayed in a particular property before. But once it gets to the desk of the DoubleTree by Hilton in Burlington, Vermont, some connection was made. And I had reason to call and extend my stay, because I've decided that I would stay an extra day here in pursuit of learning as much as I can and spending as much time as I can with Jack in particular, because I believe that this may well be the last time that each of us know who the other one is. And so I had a reason to call, and I talked to the front desk, and the gal on the front desk remembered. She said, "Oh, there's a note here. It says, you're Captain Joe, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes, I am that fine fellow. I am Captain Joe." And she said, "I remember you when you were here last year and the discussions that we had, and I don't remember what it was that we were discussing, probably the chocolate chip cookies that one gets issued when one checks in at the DoubleTree Inn by Hilton in Burlington, Vermont." Whatever it was that we were talking about, she remembered that, and she said, "We're so glad that you're going to be staying with us again." And so I thought, well, that's certainly nice, and I appreciate that. But I didn't give it any further attention until I checked in. Now, I do not use the electronic key system buried in one's telephone. As much as I love the Andy from whom the Andy phone came, I don't trust the Andy phone to do such things as boarding passes. I always insist on getting a paper boarding pass. I don't trust it to be my key to get in and out of my room in any hotel. I always ask for and always get a key card. And I always resist the imploring by the electronic system to skip the visit to the front desk. I like the visit to the front desk when I check into a place. I like to see the people. I like them to see me. And we have a little bit of a visit. And the same thing is true when I check out. I do not accept the invitation to check out electronically. I always stop by and call the people on the desk and say how much I enjoyed it, or there was something that maybe they could do to make it better. So I checked in, and the young man on the desk, Barris by name, he looked at the booking and he said, "Oh, you're Captain Joe. You have been here before." And I said, "Yes, I have." And he said, "And you want the chocolate chip cookies, don't you?" And I said, "Yes, I want the chocolate chip cookies." And so I was issued two chocolate chip cookies, even though I told him that there would only be me in the room. So that's the first good thing to report, that I was welcomed personally by the DoubleTree by Hilton in Burlington, Vermont. And one's ego always is enhanced. Not that mine needs any enhancement, but one's ego is always enhanced by such attention and such treatment. The magazine this week is The Week. You all remember how much I enjoy The Week magazine. It ostensibly comes from London. It physically comes from Sweden. When it comes in the post in a white envelope, it has in the upper right-hand corner in the postal section, it tells you where the magazine is actually mailed from. And for the last couple of years, it has actually come from Sweden. But all the editorial content is put together in London. And so the issue that has just come to me is full, overflowing with bad news, all kinds of things happening all over the world. And I'm not going to get into any of those, but I am going to quote from several things that are good news in this week's issue of The Week. The cover, there's always a painting. And the cover this week shows Prime Minister Netanyahu moving around some pieces having to do with the Gaza offensive. And the question of the day is, does Israel have a plan? And so I'm skipping over that to get to the section on the on page, what page is that? Oh, they don't They do not paginate. There's your word for today, paginate. So there's always a section that says it wasn't all bad. And there are three pieces in the section that says it wasn't all bad. And I'm going to tell you what all three of those are because they made me feel pretty good. The first one is that the Sweden's equivalent of the Oxford English Dictionary has finally been completed, 140 years after work on it began. The same body that awards the Nobel Prize in Literature, the Swedish Academy Dictionary, consists of 33,111 pages spread across 39 volumes. Work, however, must now begin again on the volumes that cover the letters A, Alpha, to R, Romeo, as these are now so old they need to be revised to include modern words such as app, parenthetical insertion here, the word is application, not app, allergy, and computer. So, first good news, the equivalent, Swedish equivalent of the OED now finally been completed, and now we've got to start all over again. The second thing is, this comes from my own county in England, my much beloved Cambridgeshire in East Anglia, the ancient kingdom of East Anglia, in which the word is that hazel dormice are thriving in a wood in Cambridgeshire 30 years after a few were released there as part of the effort to prevent them from becoming locally extinct. This reminds me of the effort to save the hedgehog, because hedgehogs were being were dying out because hedgerows were being taken down. And so there was a great effort maybe 20 years ago to not take down the hedgerows so that the hedgehogs could not only survive but thrive, and that's exactly what happened. And then the third thing was and is a team led by a 20, and this has to do with travel. A team led by a 23-year-old British engineer has designed a device to stop one of the more tiresome aspects of airplane travel. What do you think one of the most tiresome aspects of airplane travel might be? The queue to go to the head, the fact that there are only four heads in an aircraft that may have 200 passengers? No, that's not it. It has to do with who gets to use the armrest between seats in the middle seat. Now, just think about that. And so this person, this 23-year-old, has come up with an invention which the description of it here beggars my own imagination. A piece of rigid material that turns the wrist end of the armrest into a T-shape, capable of supporting two people's arms. Well, just think about that. I'm going to think about it a lot, no doubt. But in the meantime, try to picture what it looks like in the pursuit of doing and coming up with good things to talk about. The property on the market, you know, that in the middle of every issue of the week is a photographic listing of property that's for sale in England. And this time, these are idyllic houses in the north of England. Now, the north of England is not my part of England, but this particular one is in County Durham. It is called Unt Honk Hall in Stanhope in County Durham. A 17th century, you have to know how to read these, by the way. You have to know what the words, what they're really telling you, and I will translate it for you when we get into it. A 17th century manor house that has six bedrooms, one en suite. Now, what that means is that those six bedrooms, only one of them has a head, which is attached to and is part of the bedroom itself. All the other five bedrooms have no head. And you move on to the next part of the listing, which says family bath and shower. Now, what that means is that all five of the other bedrooms use that one family bath and shower. The house that Mary and I had in Cambridge when we were living and working there had five bedrooms. It had no ensuite heads. It had one head that was included a shower. And then it had a little separate toilet room. And that was it for five bedrooms. And when we were living there, we almost always had a full house. It's amazing how people always want to come and stay with you when you live in a place like Cambridge. And so the house was almost always full, and we would have queues, lines. I never got to the point where I set up a reservation system to use the head, but it was certainly a challenge to make sure that all of our guests and family members who were staying with us at any given time were able to enjoy their particular bodily functions. Five bedrooms, one head. So this house has six bedrooms, one with the head connected to it. The rest, everybody else, uses that family bath and shower. It also has a garden. It has paddocks for those horses that you no doubt are going to have. Outbuildings. And the price on this is £695,000 sterling. So you figure out how much that is in dollars. Let's say $750,000, maybe $800,000. I've not done the conversion lately. But let's say $800,000 U.S. And that property can be yours, can be mine. When you grow up in the American South, as I did for a short period of my growing up years, the availability of parts of the chicken, which are maybe almost unknown in the West, the gizzards and the livers, not able to find them anywhere in the West. So the good news on this particular point is that today, here in the not very far from the magical Isle of Vashon in West Seattle, is a chain of fried chicken stores called Ezell's, E-Z-E-L-L apostrophe S. And when you go into Ezell's, you can get gizzards and you can get livers. And not only can you get gizzards and livers, parenthetical insertion here, that in the part of Virginia where I grew up, you could go into, and you can today, go into a Safeway, go into the delicatessen section of Safeway, and they will have a deep fat fried, no redeeming nutritional value, but really good, deep fat fried gizzards and livers. Close parenthesis on that one. So here in the West, now you go to Ezell's, you can get gizzards, you can get livers, and not only can you get them, but you can get them in either original or spicy. I prefer the original. No soft shell crabs in the West, unless you import them, which I do, and they come, they perforce come frozen. You have to cook them almost immediately. Soft shell crabs, of course, are the blue crab that comes from Chesapeake Bay, and they are soft shell when they molt, when they lose their first shell, and they are captured then, and you eat the whole thing. You eat the shell, the claws, everything. They are absolutely delicious. The Washington State Ferry System. I wish I had better news on this one. I'm diverting from the good news to make us all feel better because the ferry system is now down another boat. More than one-third of the fleet right now is in layup for mechanical reasons. It is my conviction that the answer to getting the ferry system back on course is for the current and incumbent director to be moved on to other employment. And it looks to me like maybe the port engineer, the senior engineer, the senior licensed engineer should also be moved on to other employment. That's unconscionable when more than a third of the fleet are in layup for mechanical reasons. That tells me that the routines and maintenance procedures have not been followed. When we can run, as we do in the Coast Guard, we have a fleet of vessels in the Reliance class, of whom I was captain of, in fact, Reliance, the lead ship in the class. These ships are more than 50 years old, and they're still working. My icebreaker Northwind was more than 50 years old when she was decommissioned. She worked in the ice every year of her life, except for the 1 year that she was stood down to be re-engined. It can be done. And it should be done. So my good news here is that if someone will pick up on the thread on the hawser, the bitter end of which I am throwing out for them to bend onto, and heave around on that, we can get those ships back up and rolling again. The Troll. I took my family out to the Troll. Now, there are several of these trolls there in the Pacific Northwest. They are built out of recycled material. They look to me like they're built out of pallets that have been disassembled and then reconstituted into these trolls. And we have one on the magical isle of Vashon, and we have it out at Point Robinson, not in the Coast Guard part of Point Robinson, the lighthouse part, but in an area which is owned by the Vashon Park District. The interesting thing about this is that these trolls are all built out of wood and other materials which are going to decompose with time, and that is the intention, just to let them weather and finally collapse slowly into the ground. That's what's going to happen to me one of these years, but I'm counting on it being a long way off. So then the last thing that I have today has to do with my black cat, Blossom. I get questions from Captain Joe's people about how the hell is Blossom doing? You all will recall that I brought Blossom into the family. Sarah and I needed somebody to take care of. And Blossom has certainly fulfilled that particular mission. She desperately wants to be a part of everything that we have going on. But she, for reasons which are not yet clear to me, still will not allow me to pet her or pick her up. If anybody has any thoughts on how I can best manage this, Captain Joe, all one word, all lowercase, Captain Joe at CenturyTel, CenturyTel.net. That's my email address. Send me a signal. Give me your thoughts on how I can convince Blossom that all is going to be well, and if she will just cave, just give in, because she will, then she's going to have a wonderful life the rest of her life, however long it ends up being. And so we have now come with nothing decided in the way of important world-shaking things, but I've enjoyed the hell out of this time with all of us just telling you a few things that are making me feel better about the world in which we live, and I hope it does for you, too. This is, as always, your Captain Joe, with my thanks to Captain O'Brien for engineering for me in that sense, but in the larger sense do I thank him for his friendship over all of the years that we have been working together on so many different things for the good of the island community. And so my hand is out to you, my dear friend, Captain O'Brien. It is also all of Captain Joe's people are in the palm of my hand as we observe this Thanksgiving time. I am the most fortunate of men because I am part of and head Captain Joe's people. You all give me that honor and that permission, which does indeed make me the most fortunate of men. For that, I am enormously grateful. And I am grateful for the memory of Mary R. Every year when we get to Thanksgiving, I think of that. And even if I had known what was going to happen, I would not have wanted to miss it. So with that, for all of you, we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And next week, I will be broadcasting from someplace else, but not on the Magical Island.